You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is 0% Interest. And before we dive in here today, I've got kind of a special thing we need to hand out. We received a letter as a church, and the guys have got a copy. We made everybody a copy of this, but I'm going to ask you not to open it till everybody's got one. Then we will open this together, kind of an important deal. I want everybody to see this as a church. I know some of you are praying it's a letter of resignation. It's not that. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to open this, and we're going to look at it together. So if you'll open it. Now, for the sake of you who haven't figured this out yet, this on one sheet front and back is the entire book of James out of the Bible. And we call it the book of James, but in reality, it is a letter. And this was a letter sent from the half-brother of Jesus himself, James, to a bunch of Christians. And it says pretty early in the letter to these 12 tribes scattered abroad. And he says greetings, and he goes into his letter. Now, here's why I've done this today. Too many times, the Bible, these letters, these books, the scriptures become, yeah, I got a Bible, but I got 0% interest in this. Because it's been around for thousands of years. I've read all this stuff. It doesn't work. It's just a book you keep in your house. You put out the preacher, somebody religious comes over, put your birth date, your wedding, something in, but it's really not relevant for today. But see, if you are a Christian, especially in this case, if you're a Christian in their case, let's say a Jewish Christian, and your whole life's been turned completely upside down because you've heard that the Messiah came and his name was Jesus and he lived, and you've heard about him while he was alive, and he died on a cross, and everybody thought it was over, and then the story is told that he was buried and raised from the dead, and somebody came to your town, somebody came to you, into your life, and shared this truth, and said he was not just a rabbi, he was not just some teacher, he was God and a man, he died for our sins, and you got it, and you realize why he came, he was raised from the dead, and all of a sudden, all of your sins were forgiven. All of a sudden, you had received mercy and grace from God, and your whole life had been changed. But now the problem you discover is, okay, so I've got God in my life, but I still got trouble in my life. And I need some instruction, and I need some direction, and I need some help. And everybody around you at that point is a brand new Christian too, because Christianity has not been around but for a few weeks or a few months, or at some point a few years once you got into it. So nobody's like this veteran Christian, long-haul, seasoned Christian. Everybody's figuring it out. So you got questions, and I'll promise you this, there is no difference, wait 2,000 years from now or go back 2,000 years. One of the major problems with church is it is made up of people. And I say this repeatedly, we got nothing but people and screwed up people beginning right here with me. There's nobody in here who's figured this all out. There's nobody in here who, if we said, okay, has anybody got it all together and you're done, you're finished. Not one person could raise their hand and say, I've got it all figured out, I've got it all licked, I've got it all done, I'm home, I'm just going to help you poor people who can't figure it out yet. You know what? Till you hit the finish line, till you see Jesus himself, we are going to be challenged with our own problems, much less everybody else's. So out of nowhere, somebody shows up with a letter, and it's from Jesus' half-brother. Now, you imagine the stir in this little church and wherever they get this letter. There's a letter that's shown up. James has sent us a letter. It's got information about how we can do this thing, how we can live this life, the problems that we're having, how do we face them, how do we address them. We need answers. We got some answers. And when they show up, somebody reads it. They don't have copies. See, this right here alone, I handed out for those listening, what was in these envelopes was a copy of the book of James. There are places on the planet today, they would love to have this sheet of paper you hold in your hand. They don't own a copy of the scriptures. There are places on the planet where they take a Bible and very carefully dismember it, tear pages out. This has been going on for hundreds of years. Take a page out, distribute that page, guard that page, read that page. It's the only piece of scripture they own. And here we sit and here we are in this country, and you know what? We got 0% interest. And a church encourages people to show up and say, you know what, we're going to take one of these letters. What would happen if this letter showed up? They wouldn't read it one time and then set it aside and say, well, we'll wait for another one. They would dissect it. They'd talk about it. They'd think about it. They'd go over it. What does that mean? How do we do that? That's precisely what happens in a local church. We get together. We don't just dream up something to talk about. We take the scriptures. And in this case, pretty soon, we'll be going through the book of James. And you say, well, it takes forever to go through it. If you get it in a week, we'll quit. It talks about some rich guy walking into their gathering and saying, don't treat the rich guy different. Don't say, oh, come down here and sit in the front and put the poor guy in the back, the homeless guy. Don't do that. It talks about wisdom and needing wisdom. It talks about your mouth and not being able to control your words, that a ship is controlled by a rudder, but you can't control a mouth. Practical things, simple things, basic things that people need to know in how to live their Christian life. Now let me, you know, I'm trying to be gentle here, but I'm trying to encourage you in this as well. You're not going to make it without these letters. At some point, it's got to become priority mail in your life. And you say, well, I do it on my own at home. I don't need anybody else. You know what? Maybe somebody needs you. If you're such a hot dog Bible studying Christian, get your little brain and butt in some Bible study and say, you know what? I got it all figured out. I'll help you poor people. You know what? If that's your attitude, you're messed up. You need the book more than we do. You humbly show up and say, we are so privileged to have this thing, not just to study a few scriptures on Sunday and not even just to go in a small group in somebody's home, but daily in our own lives. Now, see, the problem with preaching is I got to start right here with me. And I say, well, God, you know, it's not 0% interest, but it's not 100% either. I got all these other things that I'd rather do sometimes. There's other stuff, God. It's not just about reading the Bible all the time. What about football? What about the Olympics? You know, I don't think God minds all that, but start charting your time and say, what is your ratio of time spent reading these letters compared to everything else we do? And the scripture that keeps resonating in my brain in this context personally is lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I'm not going to know this God very well. I've never seen Jesus except in the manifestation of his body, the church. I've never met James, any of these guys. I don't know any of them. All I got is mail. That's all I got. But somehow, as we go through today and look at some scripture, somehow what happens is that piece of paper right there in your hand, you start reading that thing and you start praying and you start searching and you start asking questions and you get together and you say, God, help us. We can't live without truth, and you've got to help us understand this truth. And we can't seemingly for some reason do it by ourselves, or if we can, it's not the ideal. We need to be helping each other and discussing it and hammering it out and figuring it out so that we can be different people. And not just have information, but have information that has application to our lives and leads to some transformation in our lives and not only changes us, but people around us. You say, well, I'm not interested in that. Well, let me tell you something. You are a stick in the mud Christian, and you'll sit there till the day you die. You may write a check to this church. You may say you pray and sing some songs and go your merry way and ask God to bless your business and do whatever you do, but you will not move one inch until you engage in the process. And it is not just about you by yourself. It is about us. It is a family. It is a body. And it is important to get together. It is important to go through these things and help one another and challenge one another and encourage one another. If nothing else, just know one another. Now turn over to Colossians. Colossians 4:16, the last few verses in this book. This letter. Another, Paul sends this letter to this church. They get it and they devour it. But part of what Paul says, they get this letter, they go through it. Colossians, in verse 16, he says, now when this epistle is read among you, he knows what's going to happen. They don't have copiers. The letter shows up. Somebody stands up and reads it. And I'm telling you, they want to see it, read it over. He says, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Judea. In other words, they got a letter, you got a letter, get their letter, send their letter, read this letter to each other. And I may be completely wrong here. I don't think Paul had any idea. I don't think James had any idea this stuff would get printed, canonized, put in a Bible, and we would have it today and study it. Look at us. Look at what we're doing. This is a 2,000-year-old mail, and we are still studying it. If it's just some letter, just some mail, you read it, put it in a drawer, it goes away. These people copied it, kept up with it. Why? Because somehow God used this mail. God used this stuff that was sent around. It was scripture itself. It was instruction that they needed. But you know what? Times haven't changed that much. We need it today. Now, I know we've got everybody here from seminary people all the way down to somebody who just came in with a friend and doesn't know anything about anything. Maybe you think, oh my gosh, I feel lost. You're not lost. We are all in the same boat. And we need this same Jesus. And we need this same information that will help transform our lives. Now, go to Psalm 119. This is a big old long psalm. You could spend a few months just on Psalm 119. But I'm going to read you a few verses out of Psalm 119. And I want you to get a feel for what this guy, this psalmist, David here, feels about God's word, about scripture. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Go back over to Psalm 119, 48, and listen to the words he uses on these next ones. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Starts using the word love here about God's commandments, what God says. Psalm 119, verses 113. He says, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. Verse 127. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Psalm 119, verse 159, consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. Verse 165, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Now, if you underline stuff in your Bible, underline that one. Let me ask you a question. You got great peace in your life? Everything's going, even though there's disaster, chaos around you, somehow you still have peace in the middle of it. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Now, I'm going to tell you very personally, in my life, when I find myself stumbling, it is directly connected to time spent with God and His Word. They didn't put pixie dust on me when I graduated from seminary and said, holy, 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 and wah, 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 and send me on my way, and he'll never sin again. The same devil chases me that chases you. The same principles apply to anybody, pastor, professor, it doesn't matter. We all get hammered, maybe by different tools, different weapons that the enemy uses, but it's the same devil, it's the same enemy trying to destroy our lives, and he is after you, and he will do anything to keep you away from time. We've sung about it, songs about our relationship with God, loving God, finding out he loves us. It's this intimate, ongoing thing. And the psalmist here, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Verse 167, my soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. You show me somebody who loves this book, who loves God's word, not pages. You could rip this stuff out and start a fire with it. It's just ink on a piece of paper. But when you get it and you say, God, I know you've left these letters for me to try to learn and understand. And the more you read it, the more you love it. I got people in this room, if I said, do you love this book? Hands would go up, and some of them, there'd be 0% interest. You go, well, I can take it or leave it. I don't get it. Now, specifically to those of you who would say, I don't get it, I've read it. There used to be a time in my life when I didn't hate it in terms of that kind of hate. I just got so frustrated. I would read this thing and I was raised around it and I'd read it and I got nothing out of it and I was just words on a page and I'd say, God, it doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. It talks about loving the Bible. I don't love the Bible. It talks about loving you. I don't even know if I think you love me yet. It doesn't make sense, and I'd read it, and I'd put it back down and think, I give up. Don't give up on his word. He keeps his word. Sometimes, guys, it takes getting in a room with somebody who's been in the scriptures, somebody who's spent time with God, someone who's willing to take the time and do the work and pray for you and that God will speak through his word, and you listen and all of a sudden you go, wow, I can't do this by myself yet, but I love being here because that person seems to be able to raise these words from the dead and they're alive and I get it and I want to go home and do this for myself and help somebody else be able to do it. You can't, you're not supposed to do this by yourself. If you have to, fine, but you're not supposed to do it by yourself. And you can get to the place where you love his word and you love spending time with him and it does work and it does make sense. But the tragedy is that a lot of people in this room and beyond this place may own a Bible and read it occasionally, but they never develop a love for God really or for his word, and their lives never really make much sense. And they exist, and they are Christians, and they're good people, and they go through the motions, but that's about all there is to it. Revelation chapter 2, last book in the Bible. Turn over there. There's an interesting phrase. We don't have to read all of them here, but in Revelation 2, verse 7, 11, 17, 29, over in chapter 3 of Revelation 6, verse 13, this phrase is repeated over and over. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Over again. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Why does he keep saying that? The question is, do you have an ear that can hear what the Spirit says? Do you even have any interest whatsoever? I can remember getting letters. And some of you still own these things. Do you remember, well, and maybe you don't, but if you've ever been here, you think, you know, you're going to die if you don't marry this person or you're not with them and you're separated from them and you open the mail and there's this letter. I mean, there are guys who like memorize these letters and they read it, smell the paper, and they, you know, the girl puts her perfume and junk on it and you're smelling it. And, oh, I can't, I read your letter again, and almost can tell you word for word what's in the letter, right? That's how it's supposed to get with us at some point. But you have to go to it. There has to be a love from God, for God, and then for his word, for this process to kick in. And then you go, God, I can't get enough. Have you ever had a good book, you just couldn't put it down? At some point, it ought to be that way about this. You get reading, you go, I got to go to bed. It's just getting good now. Look at John chapter 14. John 14, verse 25. This is Jesus speaking here, talking about leaving. And he says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, this is specifically to his disciples, and they're going to need this reminder, this remembrance. He will teach you all things. The same Holy Spirit that lived in them lives in us. The same Holy Spirit who wrote this letter through James lives in me. It is not cat and mouse. It's not some hide and go seek game. If you stop for a little bit, and I'll read you a verse about this in a minute, I encourage this. Do not just get your Bible, open it. And I had a guy tell me this week. I said, you know, what have you read lately? He says, well, I just, you know, open it and put my finger down. It's all truth. But that is not exactly how you go about reading a book. There's not a book in your library you ever read that way. Tom Clancy novel, you get it, say, well, have you been reading? Oh, yeah, I just opened it every day and put my finger down and read a good piece of it, and then I close it again. I can't figure out the story yet. It doesn't make much sense, but I'm trying. He will teach you all things. When you get your Bible and you decide, okay, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to go to some Bible study and get some help with this, but at home, here's what you do. You say, God, somehow I'm supposed to love this book and I don't. Somehow I'm supposed to get it, I don't. So I need your help. Holy Spirit, I'm a Christian. You live in me. You wrote this stuff. So I'm going to open it. We're going to pick a place, if it's James or wherever it may be, and I'm going to start reading. And I'm asking you, God, before I read anything, make sense of this. Teach me. Show me. Explain it to me. I am looking for not just information, but I'm looking for something that can change my life. Help me understand it. Help me get it. You say, well, it doesn't work. I'm asking you to try again. Not just reading it for the sake of reading it, but ask for God's help. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal these things to you. Tell him you're hungry. Tell him you're starved for some information, something that'll change your life. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. How do I know this is the word of God? Because Jesus told them, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to bring this stuff back to you. So when they wrote it down, I know it's not these guys going, now, what did Jesus say that day? Oh, gosh, I hope I get it right. Oh, well, I think it was this. They've got the Holy Spirit working in them and through them. So when they write it down, it is God's word coming into them and through them and to us in these letters. If you're going to get it, he's going to have to reveal it to you. And you're going to have to pray for yourself and somebody else at some point and dig in and say, God, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened so that I can understand. So that I can get it and I can know what the hope of your calling is and the riches of your glory, all this stuff. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take you getting involved. It's going to take you submitting maybe to somebody else. Ask yourself, when you open the Bible and read it, do you say, man, this is living and powerful? Or you go, I can take it or leave it, 0% interest. I don't care. It doesn't work. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, let's pick up in verse 12. Now listen to what Peter says to these people he's writing to. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Now what is he saying? I am not going to be negligent to remind you always of these things. You say you keep saying the same thing through the years over and over again. Why? To remind. We know it maybe, we just don't do it. I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things that though you know and are established in this present truth. Yes, I think it is right as long as I am in this tent, and he means his body, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. How would he do that? One way you do it is you write it down. He's even thinking, okay, I got to remind you while I'm here, but I know I'm going to die. I've got to leave something in place. So he knows if I write it down, put this system in place, then even after my decease, I ensure that you will always have a reminder. Verse 16, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart, knowing this first, and look at these next few phrases, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Now, why can I trust this letter? Every once in a while, you know, I'm not making fun of this question, but people say, well, you know what? You don't believe the whole Bible is true, do you? Word for word. They say, well, I think it's full of errors. And I say, you know what? I respect that. I understand you believe that. Let's talk about one of those. Which one you want to talk about? Which error? Well, you know, I don't know. I just, you know, it's just full of errors. Well, I understand that. I understand you believe that. Well, let's just talk about one of the errors. Well, I don't know. Have you read the Bible? Well, no. Have you ever read it through one time? No. So how do you know it's full of errors? Well, that's just what people say. And it starts to unravel just within seconds. You know what? I don't think it's full of errors. I don't think it has any errors. Either holy men of God, as it says here, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, or they didn't. So if you got a letter like this, and you said, you know what? I bet this is from God himself. He wrote it through a guy, and there's information that'll lead to transformation if I let it have some application in my life. You would think that your 0% interest would start climbing. Now, it may not hit 100% yet, but I'm telling you, if you ever figure out this mail is not junk mail, it is priority mail, and it can change your life. And if it changes your life, God can get you to the place where it can change somebody else's life.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.